course, we want to sing the couple songs that we have for the theme and for the week. Here we go. I love these songs. And if you're able to play the piano, yes, there we go. He played one for us yesterday. Yes. Here we go. VBS sure is fun. Goes with the music of This Old Man. I like the words to this one better. Here we go. VBS sure is fun. Bring more kids in one by one. Fill the church up, way up. Fill it to the door. Then go out and get some more. You bring one, I'll bring two. Just as Jesus wants us to. Fill the church up, way up. Fill it to the door. Then go out and get some more. And we're doing a pretty good job. We've been filling it to the door. You guys been bringing friends. That's always exciting. And tonight, we got some special things going on as well. I think we're going to have some steak this tonight. Tube steak, that is. And some hamburgers. Hey, I'm glad you're here today. Let's go ahead and go to the next one. This is the very best place you can be. Yes, Florence Baptist Church. That's the place to be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Oh, great time of fellowship and preaching of God's word. Here we go. We're glad to be here at Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School. We're glad to be here at Vacation Bible School. This is the best place we can be. We get to learn that Jesus loves us and make new friends who've come to join us. We'll hear exciting stories and play some games at Vacation Bible School. We're glad to be here at Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School. We're glad to be here at Vacation Bible School. This is the best place you can be. This is the best place you can be. Let's go. All right. I guess that's not catching on at the end, is it? I always want to sing it through again so we can remember, but okay. The Bible stands, and it truly does. It will always stand. It will never fall. It will never falter. It is always the truth. We can depend upon it, and any prophecy that still is in the future is definitely going to come to pass. We want to be ready for that day when Christ returns. Let's go ahead. The Bible stands. The Bible stands like a rock, undoubted amidst the raging storm of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands like a mountain towering over the works of man. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands, so the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, every test we give it, for its author is divine. by grace alone. I expect to live it and to prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on a firm foundation, for the Bible stands. And then our favorite song, this blessed old book. Abed, why don't you come up here and help me, okay? He's got a big, strong voice. He knows it. You betcha. Let's go ahead and sing the last song here today. The Bible stands.
It's the well of your water when I'm thirsty and dry, and bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When this world gets so dark I can't see, and I'm not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it costs just to hold in my hand, it reminds me that I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who've gone to the stake and quoted with their dying breath. Now its critics are many, believers are few, but one thing I found to be true: if you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. Blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. Very good, Abed. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I hope that you've been working on your verses and quoting them this week. More that you quote, the more bucks you get. I walked into the store today, and wow, it is worth memorizing. Memorizing those verses. Each verse is worth a buck, and keep working on them. Whatever verses you've said already, quote them again. Work on some more and finish them up. Here are the two theme verses. My goal this week is to give you a love for the Word of God. That God's Word is true. You know, there's no other library of books. And I call it a library because it's Genesis all the way to Revelation. There's 66 books here. It's a library. None other library has been put together from three different continents and everything still agrees. There's even three languages that it was written as the Holy Spirit used Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic, right? Three different languages, and there are no errors in there. There's no mistake. And this is the only book, only library that you can pick up and find no mistakes at all. I mean, this certainly had God's hand in it. So we should grow in love with the Word of God and desire to study it and to read it and to draw closer to the Lord by it. So two of the theme verses today are up there on the screen. But one of them is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that says, all scripture, you can't get any clearer than that, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. God's superintendence of the human authors. God used those men to pen those words, inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine. We can place our doctrine on it. We can believe those doctrines are truths in God's Word. There's 10 major doctrines that the Word of God has that we can study for reproof. It corrects us.
It shares with us the where we have gone wrong, and correction as well, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thoroughly furnished. We can believe God's word. It is our source of truth, and we can believe it and trust it. And then 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Man didn't, it wasn't his desire, it wasn't his will. Like I said yesterday, if man wrote the word of God, it would come out like this. Oh man, it's getting better and better all the time. We are just so perfect. We're just going to get better and better. That's if man wrote it. But no, God's word says you're a scoundrel. You're a sinner, lost, condemned, and headed for hell. I'm so glad that God is so truthful, because if he wasn't truthful, he wouldn't be God, first of all. But also, we wouldn't know the good news. Because, you know, the good news gets better when we know the bad news. The bad news is that we're lost, condemned, and headed for hell. The good news is that Jesus Christ came, died on the cross for our sin, but he didn't stay in the grave. He arose victoriously. He ascended on high, and get this, he's coming back. He's coming back. That's exciting. So, old time, by the will of man, that's not how it came about, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Kind of like wind in a sail. That's how we got the word of God, and we can believe it. So, there are the two verses, the theme verse, and then up here, John 3:16, can you quote it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is a truth we could cling to. Yes, we're all sinners, but God loved me. He hates my sin, but God loves me. And he wants me by faith to call upon his Son, his only begotten Son, his only unique Son, that we might have eternal life. Wow, that's something that we can cling to. That's a promise that we can accept and believe God's written word. And then that's day one, but day two on Tuesday is Psalm 119, verse 105. We quote this when we say the pledge to the Bible. Here it is. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm not going to stumble and fall if I'm in the word of God. I'll see the light. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. But as they do those evil deeds, they can't see where they're going. They're going to stumble. They're going to fall. They're going to get a black eye. They're going to break their nose because they're not able to see where they're going. But if we study the word of God, we're going to be able to see. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. I learned to love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. That's the goal, to love the word of God, to be instant, to study it, to love it. And then day three, John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So believeth on the name of the Son of God will have everlasting life. That's hope. That's eternal life. That's not just once in a while life, and maybe so. No, that's a fact. That if we by faith call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And then day four, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Are you hiding God's word in your heart? We want to love the word of God. We want to hide it in our heart. We want to memorize it. And then today's verse is John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Powerful verses. I hope you're working on them. I hope you're memorizing them, and that you hide them in your heart, that you can walk close to the Lord, not stumble, not fall, but cherish the word of God. Grow to love his word. It's the only book in the world that is inspired by God. It is given to us by God. It is written through, yes, he used godly men to pen these words. But like I said, If they were man's words, there would be a lot of things missing that we have in the Word of God today. It's true, and we can trust it and believe it. All right. We can go home now, right? Preaching is all done. No, okay. Well, tonight, I have another special friend that I want to introduce you to. You've already met him once, but we're going to get to see him tonight. And, of course, as you look up here, how many of you noticed their homes? First of all, we have Raleigh's Home Sweet Home. How many of you have a home sweet home? You like home, right? Like home where it's nice and comfortable. There's air conditioner that works, Lord willing. Home Sweet Home. And then, of course, I have Randy up here. And it says Randy's Bungalow. That's kind of like a hut. And Randy, he's kind of a backwoods type of a guy. He loves his bungalow. And then, of course, we got Rodney's domicile. A domicile is quite an extravagant place. He loves his books, so he has to have room for all the books in his library. So he's got himself a domicile. And then, of course, every young lady needs a castle. Right? So we have Rosie's castle. Because every young lady is a princess, right? Is that true? You guys are awfully quiet. No, you don't think every young lady's a princess? Nope. Okay. Well, tonight we're going to get to meet Randy again. And Randy's going to help me share with you a story about the strongest man in the world. And by the way, his name is not Hercules. This guy is found in the Word of God. So sit back, listen real close, and let's find out who the strongest man in the world is. You know, it was all because of sin, his strength fizzled. Did you know he did not complete the job that God commanded him to do? In fact, he's the only judge that did not complete his job, and it was all because of sin. Sin's an awful thing. Sin brings darkness and grief and anguish and pain. But if we study the Word of God, remember, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Samson, he should have remembered that. Well, you listen to this important story about the strongest man in the world. You listen. Yeah, Randy?
Yeah.
Are you in there?
Yeah, good deal. Hey, Lau. Oh, boy, I got a question for you. Oh, this is exciting. It's my turn. Hey, Lau. Oh, take it easy, would you?
Randy, your hair's a mess.
I like it that way. Don't do that. Oh, cut that out. Watch it, would you? Hey, I got a question for you. Hey, hold it. Wait. Well, hello there. How you guys doing? It's good to see you.
Hey, Randy, why don't you tell a little bit about yourself?
Do what?
Tell them a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I'm hungry.
That's not what I meant. But by the way, you've got all the food you'll ever need right there in your box.
All I got left is spinach.
Oh, Randy, spinach is good for you. It puts colors in your cheeks.
Who wants green cheeks?
Well, Randy, anyway, I just wanted you to share a little bit about yourself.
Okay. My mouth goes up and down like this.
Randy, that's not what I meant.
And my eyes go back and forth like this.
Randy, that's not what I meant either.
And my eyebrows go up like this. And not only that, my head goes all around like this.
Randy!
Oh, boy.
Well, Randy, how do you feel? Not very good.
I feel better now. I'm glad. I got a question to you.
Well, okay. What's your question?
Why didn't Sam name his son?
Sam. There's no Sam in the Bible. Sure, there is. And he never named his son. That's right.
Oh, you mean Samuel. No. I mean Sam.
Yeah, but Randy, there is no Sam in the Bible.
Well, then, what did he call his son?
Exactly. Sam's son. Oh, wait a second. Hold it. You're talking about Manoah.
No, that's the guy in the ark. I mean Sam.
No. Manoah, he's the guy who the Holy Spirit came to, an angel came to him and told him that he was going to have a son, and his son name is Samson.
Exactly. Sam's son.
No. Put it all together a little bit faster.
Samson.
Well, no, his name is Samson.
I don't understand.
Well, you see, they had a son by the name of Samson, which means little son.
Oh, sonny bully.
Oh, no, no, no. In any case, Samson was a very, very special man. He was. He certainly was. God told him that if there are a few things that he had to do, and that is that he was never, never to eat any unclean meat. No Big Macs. No Big Macs. And not only that, but he was never to drink anything from the vine. No grape juice. Nope, no grape juice. And not only that, but he was never, never to cut his hair. Oh, he's a hippie. Yeah, exactly. But if Samson did all those special things, and you call that special, because if he followed the Holy Spirit, did exactly what God told him to do, he would be very, very strong. Smelling. No, not smelling. You know, strong. You call that strong. Yeah. In any case, Samson was unique. The Bible tells us that he carried two large gates to the top of a mountain. That is strong. And not only that, but he killed 30 men with his bare hands. Oh, how'd you like to meet him in a dark alley? And not only that, but he killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. Let's have a few minutes of silence. For the 1,000 men who died? No, for the donkey. In any case, Samson was unique. He did some wonderful things. But one day, something terrible happened. He ate a Big Mac. Oh, no, no, no. The terrible thing that happened was he fell in love with a girl. Oh, no. Oh, yuck. This girl was a Philistine who was paid lots of money to find out why Samson was so strong. Did he tell her? Nope, not at first. Oh, she pled and she begged until finally one day, Samson finally told her why he was so strong. She must have cried. Well, what do you mean she must have cried? Well, all girls have to do is cry, and they always get their way. Yeah, in any case, she did cry. The tears flowed, and finally Samson told her why he was so strong. What did he say? All he simply did was tell him to cut his hair. It's a doubt point. No, wait a second. You see, Samson wasn't strong because he had long hair. He was strong because he obeyed God. As soon as he disobeyed God and didn't do what God told him to do, he would become just as weak as any other man. What happened? Oh, Randy, it was terrible. The Philistines came in and they plucked out his eyes. He can't see. Not only that, but they tied him up with fetters of brass. He can't go anywhere. And not only that, but he made Samson grind Israel's wheat for the Philistines to eat. How interesting. It certainly was. Oh, Samson was what was. His life was destroyed. It was gone. Oh, all because of sin. That's right, Randy. All because of sin. Did he die like that? Well, not exactly. One day, the Philistines decided to have a party. Yippee, let's go. Oh, Randy, no, we do not want to go to this party. Is there food? I'm sure there's food, cookies, cake. No, well, I'm sure, but we don't want to go to this party. How come? Because not only were they making fun of Samson, but they were making fun of Samson's God. That's not right. It wasn't. As they made fun of Samson and made fun of Samson's God, Samson developed a friendship. Yeah, with a little boy. I like that. And that little boy took Samson to the two large pillars that held up the whole building. Yeah. Samson prayed one more time, asking God for his strength. And he pulled those two pillars over, and the whole building came crashing down. Look out! Yeah. All because of sin. What a disease. A disease? Yeah. Oh, no, Randy, Samson didn't die of a disease. Oh, yes, he did. Okay, I'll bite. What disease did Samson die of? Falling arches, of course. Yeah, the pillars cracked and the building came down. And Samson killed more people in his death than he killed in his whole life. What a comedian. Comedian, yeah, he dropped the house down. That's for sure. But in any case, God used Samson to begin to destroy the Philistines' hold on Israel. He didn't finish his job, and it was all because of sin, Randy. Oh, are you going to tell him about that? I certainly am. Randy, why don't you go ahead and say goodbye to these fine folks?
Okay. Hey, thanks for letting us come. Hey, don't do that. That tickles. Cut that out. Oh, oh boy. Hey, don't mess up my hair. Oh, don't do that. Hey, wait a second. Hold it. Hey, we'll see you then later. Thanks for coming. That was exciting. Boy, so long. Bye.
Aha. That was Randy. Mm-hmm. Powerful story of Samson. I'd like to encourage you, if you brought your Bible here tonight, and I hope you did, to open your Bible to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 16. We're just going to look at one verse. Just one verse. And I know Dana's going to put it up on the screen. But I hope you brought your Bible. Open your Bible to Judges chapter 16. And we want to focus our attention on one verse. Do you realize that Samson, it was his job to deliver Israel from the Philistines? He took the Nazarite vow, which meant that he couldn't cut his hair, he couldn't drink anything from the vine, and certainly couldn't eat any unclean meat. If he followed those instructions and did what God told him to do as a Nazarite, the Bible shares with us that he would be stronger than any other man. The Holy Spirit would come upon him, and he would do some remarkable things. Some people think that Samson was probably just a short little guy and skinny, looked like a beanpole. And it was just so surprising to see the strength. But we don't know what Samson looked like. We do know he had long hair and that he kept the Nazarite vow. And you know, as Samson, because of his sin, told Delilah that all she had to do was cut his hair, the covenant was broken. Samson became just as weak as any other man. And I want to share with you today in Judges chapter 16 and verse 21 that the same thing that the Philistines did to Samson physically also happens to us spiritually because of sin. Let me share with you what I mean. In Judges chapter 16 verse 21, there are three things the Philistines did to Samson physically. Follow along with me as I read. Judges chapter 16, verse 21. Listen to what they did. It says here, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Let me read it again. Judges 16, verse 21. But the Philistines took him, they put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Can someone tell me what is the very first thing that brought him down to Gaza? What was the very first thing that they did to Samson? What did they do? They put out his eyes, didn't they? Literally, they had four guys holding him down. The fifth guy stood above him, put his right hand on Samson's left ear, put his left hand on Samson's right ear, put both his thumbs on both sides of his nose, and gouged out his eyes. Samson could not see. His eyes were plucked out. Samson was blind. And you know, that's just what happens to us. Do you realize that Satan loves to blind the eyes of those who believe not? Let me read a couple verses for you. In fact, in John chapter 12, verse 40, it says this. He, that is Satan, hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts and be converted, and I should heal them. God's word tells us that Satan just loves to blind the eyes of those who believe not, thinking, oh, you are okay, you are just fine, man is getting better all the time, you don't need to repent of your sin. Satan just loves to blind our eyes into thinking, but I'm okay, I don't need God. But also look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, where it says, in whom the God of this world, and who is the God of this world? It's Satan. Satan's the God of this world. Satan has yanked man out of God's bosom, and Satan is the God of this world. Satan destroys, Satan ruins, listen to this, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Satan just loves to blind man into thinking, but I'm okay, I don't need God, I'm just fine. For instance, There are people today that look at their lives and say, you know, I'm not a sinner like that person is. You know, there's people in the world today who've done some pretty wicked things. You know, those people who have robbed banks, those people who have murdered individuals, these people who are so wicked, they're running from the law, and you know, they are very wicked. And God one day is going to judge them. That is a murderer, a criminal, a thief. God's going to judge him one day. Look at how long he has sinned. It's longer than my arm. Look at how wicked they are. But then there's other people too. You know, they lie, they cheat, they steal, they pinch, they scratch. You know, they might not be as evil as this murderer, but God one day is going to judge them because they are sinners. But then there's me. You know me? I'm too young to be a sinner. I'm too cute to be a sinner. You know, God's not going to judge me like these people. In fact, I've hardly sinned at all. Look at me. I'm not going to be judged of God like these people are. I mean, God's really going to judge them. But then there's me. You know, I've hardly sinned at all. I'm too young to be a sinner. And we look at these three ropes just like we look at sin. And you know, I have all three of these ropes. And of course, all three of these ropes are the same length, right? Sure they are. First of all, I got this itty-bitty dinky rope here. And then I've got this medium-sized rope here. Then we have this great big long one. And you know, as we look at these three ropes, we see three different lengths. We say, hey, there's this itty-bitty dinky one. And then there's this medium-sized one. Then there's this great big long one. And that's how God's going to judge. I'm not as bad as these people are. You know, I've hardly sinned at all. God's not going to judge me. But you know, if we were to take a look at these three ropes, the way God looks at sin, you know what we'd find out? We would find out that these three ropes are all three the same length. You know why? Because God doesn't look at sin like we do. God looks at sin as being sin. Doesn't matter how small we might think sin is. Doesn't matter how big we might think sin is. In God's eyes, sin is all the same. Sin is sin. No matter what level we place it in, it is sin. It is wrong, and God's going to judge it. Even though we might think, but I've only sinned just a... In God's eyes, we're sinners. We're born in sin. And because of our sin, no matter how small we might think it is, or how big we might think it is, God is a forgiving God. And you know, I have three ropes here, of course. And all three of these ropes are all three the same length. By the way, how many of you can count to three? Can you help me out? Can we count to three? Are you ready? Let's practice, okay? One, two, three. Now let's count these three ropes. Are you ready? Here we go. One, two, and three. And all three ropes are the same length because that's how God looks at sin. The question is, how do we look at sin? Do we look at sin as maybe being an itty-bitty-dinky rope? Or maybe we look at sin as being a medium-sized rope. Or maybe we look at sin as being a great big long rope. But in any case, God looks at sin as all being the same. The question is, have you been blinded by Satan into thinking, but I'm okay. I don't need God. I can just live the way I please. Because see, God is a judge of sin. No matter how small we might think it is, in God's eyes, it's sin. And it's wrong, and God's going to judge it. So the question is, have you been blinded by Satan into thinking, but I'm okay? God's word says we're not. We've all sinned against God. Each and every one of us were born in sin. You can honestly look at your dad and say, it's your fault. Because it is. Sin's been passed down to each and every one of us, all because of Adam and Eve's sin against God. We're sinners. We're born in sin, all because of Adam's choice. Don't be blinded by Satan. Don't be tricked into thinking, but I'm okay. I don't need God. Because the truth is, each one of us do need God. We need to trust in his son and his son alone. So first of all, I believe, number one, that Samson learned that sin blinds. Don't allow Satan to blind your thinking. That, oh, but I'm okay, I don't need God. The second thing that Samson learned about sin, not only that sin blinds, But he also learned point number two. And as we look at this verse today, what does it say? It says, first of all, that they put out his eyes. They brought him down to Gaza. But what's the second thing that they did to Samson? They bound him. You're right. So not only does sin blind, sin also binds. Sin is binding. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That sounds pretty binding to me. Not only that, but think about Proverbs 5:21 that says this. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his going. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. Sin is binding. It's a trap, and it leads to death. For the wages of sin is death. But, the gift of God is eternal life through what? Baptism? Church membership. Communion. No. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin is binding. It's a trap, and it leads to death. Let me share with you an illustration. I have up here some rings. And let's see here. Who can I get to help me here a little bit? Let's see here. How about this young man right here? Will you put those two rings together for me? Can you do that? Can you stick them together? And as you are putting those two rings together, I'll go ahead and show you. What you do here, you just kind of snap them together and they fall together just like that. You got them together yet? You put the two rings together like this. Kind of stick them together. Can you stick them together? No, you can't stick them together. Could you hold on to those for me? Hold on to those. Here, this is how you do it. You take the ring, and you just kind of snap it together, and it falls together just like that. You got them together yet? No, you don't have them together? Oh, let's see here. Can you hold on to those for me? Go ahead and take them apart if you like. You got, okay. You still don't have it together? Okay, here, let me see one of them then. Here you go. Let me see one. So what you do is you just kind of snap them together like that, and they just fall together, just like that. There you go. Where's the three at? There we go. You know, it's just the way sin is. Sin's a trap. It leads to death. It is binding. So what you do, just kind of snap them together like that, and they just fall together, just like that. It's just the way sin is. Sin's a trap. Leads to death. Hey, where's the one at? There we go. There's the one. Just kind of snap them together, just like that, and they fall together, just like so. Just the way sin is. It's a trap. And it leads to death. It's binding. And because of sin, the Bible says, we cannot spend eternity in heaven. So let's see here. Where's the two at? There we go. So same thing. Just kind of snap them together like that. And there it goes. Just like that. It's a trap. And it leads to death. But there's one way that we can be set free. One way that our hopes can be rebuilt. The hope is in Christ. In Christ alone. And all we have to do is this. Can I get your help? Go ahead and come on up here. And would you come up here too? Go ahead. Can you hold on to that one right there? There you go. And you, can you hold on to this one? All we have to do is come to the cross of Calvary. Right. Through Amen. Christ and Christ alone. That's the hope that we have. Because we're bound by our sin. We're trapped by our sin. Sin leads to death. The only hope is Calvary, the cross, where Jesus died and shed his perfect blood that we might have eternal life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thank you so much, you two. You did a great job. Go ahead and let go. Go ahead and have a seat. Thank you so much. Give them a hand. Didn't they do a good job? Yes, they did. Sin is a trap. So first of all, Samson learned that what? Sin what? Blinds. What's the second thing Samson learned? Sin binds. But not only did Samson learn that sin blinds and that sin binds, but he also learned what's the very last thing that the Philistines made Samson do. Yes? It's what? The last one? Yeah, so what was the last thing they made Samson do? It's right up there. What is it? What did they do? Huh? Grind what? Yeah, grind. Yes, so the verse 21 says, and did grind in the prison house. So literally what they did is they make Samson grind the wheat that Israel grew, and then the Philistines got to eat it. Literally, Samson was tied to a log. They would take, Israel would take this huge boulder, and they would dig a huge pit in the ground. They would take this huge boulder, and they would cut it into a wheel. And then they would put a hole through the middle of the wheel. They would stick a log into that hole. They would pour the wheat into the ground, and they would tie a water buffalo on one end and a water buffalo on the other end, and they would walk in circles grinding the wheat. But instead of having a water buffalo on one side, they tied Samson to that log. Now get the picture. Here's Samson tied to this log. He can't see. He's bound to the log, and all he can do is walk in circles. Oh, sounds like it would be pretty exciting, right? No, I don't think so. Samson's blind. He can't see. He's bound to this log, and he's walking in circles. And you know what I think Samson was thinking? He was thinking, why did I fall in love with Delilah? Why did I sin against God? Why didn't I do what God asked me to do? And you know, I think it tore Samson apart. Sin has a way of grinding at our hearts. Because not only does Samson learn that sin blinds and that sin binds, but he also learned that sin grinds. It tore him apart. And you know, that's exactly what sin has done in our society too. It's destroyed families. It's destroyed homes. It's destroyed lives. All because of sin. Samson learned some important things. That yes, sin does blind. He didn't see it. He didn't see what awfulness that could take place in his life because he chose to be blinded by the things of Satan. He also learned that sin binds, that sin's a trap. And everything that happened to Samson physically also happens to us spiritually, all because of sin. But let me share with you an illustration. I have up here, first of all, a black silk. I also have a neat little piece of construction paper, an empty piece of construction paper, and I'm going to go ahead and roll it all up like this. This red piece of construction paper reminds me of the cross of Calvary. Because, see, if I as a sinner, lost, condemned, and headed for hell, were to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I know that you died for me. I know that you were crucified on the cross for my sin. And I believe that you are the Son of God, that you did die in my place. And not only did you die in my place, but you also arose. You conquered the grave. You conquered death. You arose from that grave. And today, you're sitting on the right hand of the Father on high. And if I, as a sinner, were to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive me of my sin, look at what he can do. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The question is, what have you done with Christ? Have you trusted in him? Do you know him as your Savior today? Because only through Christ can we have eternal life. Samson quickly learned that not only does sin blind, not only does sin bind, but it also grind. It will tear you apart. Only through Christ can we have eternal life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God tonight, and for what we can learn through the life of Samson. Just as they bound him, plucked out his eyes, and made him grind the wheat for Israel, we can see that's exactly what happens to us because of sin. Sin blinds. Satan loves to trick us into believing we're okay. Satan loves to bind us and to see us bound and accuse us without Christ. But Father, we also know that sin will tear us apart. Father, maybe there's somebody here that their lives are being torn apart. They're blind to the truth of your word. And Father, I pray that you allow the Holy Spirit to work in their hearts in ways I can't. I cannot save a soul, but you can. With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you're here today
and you would say, I want to see the truth of God's word. I'm tired of being blinded by Satan and being tricked into thinking that I'm okay. Maybe you're here today and there's never been a time in your life when you personally accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Tonight I would like to encourage you to slip up a hand and say, Preacher, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know for sure if heaven's my eternal home, but I'd like to know for sure. I would like to know for sure that I'm not being blinded by Satan. I want to believe God's word. I want to see the truths in his book. Tonight I want to ask Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin that I might have eternal life. Anyone? Just slip up your hand and put it back down. Maybe you're here tonight, and even as a Christian, sin has drawn you away from the Lord. You're not using the Word of God as a light to your path. You haven't been walking with Him. And tonight, maybe the Holy Spirit has been working in your heart. And I want to encourage you to speak to someone before you leave. Ask them to pray with you, that you too might walk with God. Oh, Father, I pray that you'll continue to work in hearts tonight. I pray if there's one here that's not saved, that they'll trust Christ as their personal Savior before it's too late. In Jesus' name I pray. Pastor, you come.
Let's all stand on our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. As Pastor Shilkaw was preaching, I was thinking about this text, you know, talking about Samson being bound in sin. The Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. I really like that part that says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. You know, the good news is, as the Bible teaches us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You don't have to be bound in sin tonight, friend. You don't have to be controlled by sin. You don't have to be ruled by sin. I'm glad that God is rich in mercy. And maybe you're here tonight, dear friend, and you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. You don't know for sure that you've asked for forgiveness of your sin. You don't know for sure that you've asked God to save you. Won't you come tonight and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. If there's anybody like that at all, won't you come? Won't you come? The most important thing this week is what you'll do with Jesus. You do realize that you must make a decision about Christ. You either choose to accept Him or you choose to reject Him. Won't you come now while God's dealing with your heart? Don't be embarrassed, friend. This is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. How about you? How about you? As Brother Silcott said, maybe there's some Christians that have been controlled or ruled by sin, have some things you need to make right with the Lord. You know that you're saved. If there's somebody here that say, Pastor, would you pray for me? There's a stronghold in my life. I need to give it to the Lord. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? Thank you. I see that hand. You may put it down. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm just going to pray for you. I promise I'm not going to embarrass you. I'd never do that. Anybody else? Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see those hands. You may put them down. Anybody else before we pray? Thank you, I see that hand. Lord, we're so thankful again for tonight. Thank you for the message, for the challenge from the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to hear the gospel message again. And Lord, our heart is burdened for those that maybe are here, they not sure about their salvation. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, give them the strength and the courage and convict them of their need for salvation. Lord, that they may come forward, even if it's after this part of the service, that they would come and want to talk to somebody, myself, one of the ladies, Pastor Silcott. Lord, and several lifted their hands and said that, Lord, maybe there's a stronghold in their life and they want to give it to you, Lord. You know who they are. God, I pray that you help them in a special way. God, I pray that you strengthen them, Lord, and their desires to grow stronger for your glory. Lord, keep a special hand upon them. We pray for the rest of the service this evening. Thank you for your many blessings on us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you. You may be seated. Wasn't that a good message tonight, church? Amen. And I want to say thanks again, Pastor Cod. You've been a tremendous blessing and a big help to us. It's been kind of a crazy week. And I'm so glad that Pastor Silcott was here and just bring a good challenge from the Bible. Listen, it doesn't get any better than this. Amen. You come here, you've heard what the Bible says about the gospel. Amen. You can't leave here saying that you didn't know or that you didn't hear, because you heard it. Amen. And so that's a privilege to be able to hear. You do realize that there's people in the world that don't have that privilege, that could come to a nice place in a cool building, where we're having a good time and hear the Word of God preached, having a good time, playing games, and all the other things that we've been doing. What a blessing it's been. Thank you all for being here. We got a couple things that we need to do. We're not done for the evening. And I think that if I'm thinking correctly, here they are. Mr. and Mrs. Cash is going to come up. How many of y'all have really appreciated Mr. and Mrs. Cash this week? Give them a big hand, huh? Oh, okay, that's fine. Can we have a sub in? Come on, Susan, you're going to be our sub. That means you have to take the pie if you lose. Oh, boy. Yeah. So who's going to get it tonight? Is it going to be Mr. Cash? No? How about Mrs. Cash? Oh, my goodness. All right. Okay. All right, are we ready? Let's go. Come on. Let's go.